Here on Talk of the Nation, we go from the collapse of the WTO talks to the collapse of women's professional soccer in this country. This week, the Women's United Soccer Association, or WUSA, folded after it burned through a $100 million investment in just three seasons. Soccer, though, is not alone in its financial struggle. The WNBA, the Women's National Basketball Association, loses $12 million a year. This summer's U.S. Open Women's final in tennis got half the ratings of 2002, and Sports Illustrated's Women's Magazine went under late last year. Do you watch women's sports games? Watch them on TV? If you don't, why not? Join the conversation. Our phone number is 800-989-8255, and our email address is totn@npr.org. Christine Brennan is a sports columnist for USA Today and a commentator for NPR's Morning Edition. She's covered women's and men's sports for two decades. She joins us now by phone from Toledo, Ohio, and it's good to have you on Talk of the Nation.
Neil, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
After the 1999 Women's World Cup, women's soccer seemed to be on the verge of a takeoff here in the United States. Is America's interest in women's soccer declining, or were the WUSA's founders just a little too optimistic?
Probably a little bit of both. Let's keep in mind in 1999, Neil, that event, which I covered and enjoyed very much, mm-hmm. Women's World Cup, was played. It was, of course, a national event. It was a big event. Americans do love the big event. It was nationalism run rampant. It was 2 or 3 weeks in the summer when very little else was going on the sports calendar. And it caught the fancy of everyone. All the Time, Newsweek, People, Sports Illustrated, all had the women on the cover after they won the World Cup. No other story has ever captured those four magazines in the same week. So there was so much positive. What has happened? Well, soccer is a tough sell in this country. I love sports. I would rarely, if ever, go to a soccer game, men's or women's. And I think that's part of the problem. And the second and third years, Neil, of the WUSA were also occurring during a time of an economic downturn in the United States. So a fledgling league like this was facing obstacles that were clearly too much to handle, especially because of the economy. No excuses. But I think we have to keep in mind a lot of leagues. The NFL had a lot of stops and starts way back when before it got going. So it's a tough time for women's sports, a tough time for sports in general. All TV ratings are down, not just women's sports.
Which women's sports are successful on the professional level, and how do they do it?
Well, certainly golf and tennis. It's a very interesting time of contradictions because here we are talking about this very low point in women's sports, the news of the WUSA being disbanded, of course, 5 days before the Women's World Cup gets going. But I would say up until this point, and in fact even including this news, this has been the year of the woman in sports. Title IX has been reaffirmed by the very conservative Bush administration, which means it will not be touched, I'm sure, for decades.
Mm-hmm.
This, of course, means that we will now be pumping out more little girls playing all sorts of sports, including soccer, from high school to college, college scholarships. And where do they go? And is there going to be a league in the future in soccer again for them? Because we're going to keep pumping these girls out by the hundreds of thousands. That law says that. And, of course, right now, if you stop the presses, the sports person of the year, not woman, but the sports person of the year has to be Annika Sorenstam. So what an interesting time in terms of we're looking at this bad news for women's sports today, but such a terrific year for women's sports. I think the individual is always attracting our attention, whether it's Annika Sorenstam playing against the men or Susie Whaley. I also think the Williams sisters intrigue us tremendously, as tennis has for years, Chris Evert, Billie Jean King, Tracy Austin, obviously, et cetera, et cetera. And I do think Americans love the big event, and that's why the Women's World Cup soccer was so appealing, whereas the league itself was not.
Yet you talk a lot about those Title IX and the women stars coming out of college, and there's no question that it is. And I think college basketball is a really good example of that, and the phenomenally successful programs at Tennessee and, of course, University of Connecticut and various other places like that. And you think of 80 years ago when people really wanted to continue to watch Red Grange play football, and so the professional league did get off the ground. Is the same thing, you think, going to be able to happen in the incubator WNBA?
It's a great question. Of course, it's such a different time. There's so many sports crowding the sports landscape and the calendar, as you know, Neil. And Of course, we also have so many television networks, so we can always find something, some cable network televising some sporting event. But it is very different to start a fledgling league now in this economy with so many demands on the corporate dollar already and so many corporations who are interested in sports already sponsoring the NFL broadcasts or the NBA or Major League Baseball, hockey, Tiger Woods, golf, whatever. So now you're saying, okay, we need you to come in as a corporation and sponsor a women's league at a time when the economy is terrible. I think it makes sense. If you look at it, why it was such a tough time for the WUSA, and I think the way I look at it, Neil, and what's going to be happening in the future, my take on it is simply this. I think most of the moms today are in their 30s and 40s and grew up, by and large, not playing sports. So they're very unlikely to go to their husbands and say, I want to go take the girls and the boys, whatever, take the kids to a WUSA soccer game.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that this next generation of girls, the girls who are 5, 10, 15 years old now, when they grow up to become mothers, I think they will have a very different feeling, an entitlement towards sports that their moms do not have. It will be fascinating to see if they will then be the generation that buys the tickets and demands that corporations sponsor women's sports, again, with the knowledge that Title IX will keep pumping more and more girls and women into the fabric of sports in America.
Let's get some listeners involved. Our phone number is 800-989-8255. Our email address is totn@npr.org. And Eric is on the line with us from Portland, Oregon.
Good afternoon.
Afternoon.
Say, I think that, and I really certainly hope that women's sports succeed over time, if for no other reason than because we can involve the, you know, complete population of our country in sporting events. What I'd like to say is that I think women's sports are at a competitive disadvantage because men's sports, particularly look at baseball, and now baseball was able to evolve over time in a culture that was smaller and slower paced, and that many baseball teams folded and baseball leagues folded over time, and I think that we're expecting too much out of women's leagues too early, especially in this era where there are so many competing interests for our time, energy, and money.
Hmm. Christine Brennan, would you agree with that?
Eric makes a great point. We don't have any patience anymore for anything. If you set at a red light and then it goes green and you don't move in the split second, you know that's the case. It's on their horn telling you to move. And I think that's a great point. Today's climate, while it is also, of course, nurturing women athletes in a way it never has before, is also demanding complete success or else. And again, I don't want to make too big a point of this, but with the economy not being conducive to sponsorship by a lot of corporations right now, I think there is a quickness there. We just, you can't afford to lose money. Do it in 2 or 3 years or else. It'll be fascinating to see what the next 5 to 10 years bring, because I don't think this is the end for women's sports. I don't think this is the doomsday for women's sports that some may be portraying it to be.
Well, Eric, thanks very much for the call, by the way.
Thank you.
And I wanted to ask, though, obviously 1999 and the World Cup was a springboard for the WUSA. As potential investors now look at the $100 million hole that they just created in the space of 3 years, what could possibly be the next springboard?
Well, certainly the 1996 Olympics, of course, was before that, too. So you're absolutely right. We had these two events in the United States. 96 Olympics with softball and soccer and some other sports, basketball, and then 99. And the only thing that came out of that is still standing today is the WNBA. So that's a great point. Frankly, on the horizon, there's a lot of big-time international sports events that are going to be overseas. The Athens Olympics in 2004,
mm-hmm.
You can see that viewership would be down compared to, say, a Salt Lake Olympics or an Atlanta Olympics. Again, the fractured viewing audience, Neil, where no one watches things like we all watch Mary Tyler Moore or MASH. We just don't do anything in a communal way anymore in our country. So I think that also can hurt that. And then again, the next several Olympic Games, 2008 for summer, are in Beijing. So it's not looking good to have that launching pad that the women's soccer had in 1999.
We're speaking with Christine Brennan of USA Today and, of course, a commentator for Morning Edition as well. You're listening right now to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's go to Michael, and Michael's with us from San Diego.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Afternoon.
You guys have touched on some of the things I wanted to comment on, but basically what I wanted to say was what you're talking about, the sports are gender-centric, and you're talking about women's soccer, and I think the general problem is that maybe 1 in 5 women spend any time or money each week watching sports, whereas men, I would say at least half of all men, spend a significant amount of time or money on sports each week. And the sponsors know this. And if the women are not going to come out and watch and participate in the sports in large numbers, then the sponsors are not going to contribute large amounts of money. And this is, I think, the fundamental problem with women's sports today. And I'd wondered if you could talk about that, and I'll listen off the air. Thank you.
Michael, I absolutely agree, and it's something we actually touched on briefly, but I think that's where we need to give it more time. The impatient American society has to become patient on this particular issue. You know, when you think of Title IX being signed by President Richard Nixon in 1972, that is really a blink of the eye in our history. And yet again, we are so focused on each minute of our sports day with the Internet and cable outlets and everything, that, and I'm part of it too, as sports media. So I think if we give it time to breathe, and if we look at this again in 30 years, when we'll all be old crotchety veterans, or who knows where we'll be, but the point being, I think it's going to take another generation or two for women who also are raising families to say, honey, we are going to the sporting event, the way that the husband does that now with his wife and the kids. And there's just not that sense yet that women of 35, 40, 50 years old who are raising children are entitled and feeling the need to go to sports or watch sports the way that I think their daughters will.
Is there some significance that the sports that are struggling, certainly soccer and basketball continuing to lose money, are team sports, where certainly golf, tennis, and we didn't, I'm not sure we mentioned professional figure skating, probably the biggest of them all for women's sports, they're doing fine.
Mm-hmm. It's a great point, Neil, and I do think there is something to be said there. I think it's that way with men's sports, too. You look at TV ratings, and NASCAR is fascinating. You know, people are riveted to NASCAR. That, of course, is a men's sport, by and large. But men and women love it. It's individual drivers. It's individual cars and individual products involving that car. You look at the biggest name in sports today and on the men's side, Tiger Woods. Of course, an individual sport. Yet the NFL continues to be the one and only non-niche sport in America today. Everything else really has fallen into the niche category, including baseball and the NBA and hockey. So I think we are becoming less and less of a team sport-oriented society, men and women. And absolutely, figure skating gets great TV ratings. I think that bridges the gap between the beauty and the music and the costumes, the traditional female role that many people believe is worthwhile watching, especially men. And then thankfully, I think we're getting out of that. And it's okay to watch women in baggy pants, and that's what the soccer's all about from the 1999 World Cup, and baggy clothes and grass-stained knees. But I also think the figure skating with the athleticism and the jumping and Michelle Kwan and others, I think that's been the allure there. So it's a mixed bag. There is no doubt that today we are looking at a series of contradictions in women's sports, as opposed to, in my mind, a clear-cut decision that something is going wrong or something is going right.
Christine Brennan, thanks very much for being with us today.
Thank you, Neil. My pleasure.
Christine Brennan, a sports columnist for USA Today and a commentator for NPR's Morning Edition. She joined us by phone from Toledo, Ohio. Stay tuned to NPR News for breaking stories throughout the day. Yesterday, you may recall that an appeals three-judge panel of the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals has postponed the California recall election. Well, we're hearing that the entire Ninth Circuit is going to be reviewing that decision, so that's the latest twist in a recall election that probably is not over surprising us. So details on that story coming up later today on All Things Considered. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.